from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Happy hump day, people. Happy hump day.
Now back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Filling in for Willard and Dibs, here's Matt Steinmetz and Daryl the Guru Johnson.
You know who we are.
Yeah, sounds like we're winning an award. My bad. I'm
What's that?
Y'all. When that guy says Daryl the Guru Johnson, sounds like I'm coming up to get an award. Like an Emmy. Or an Oscar.
Well, maybe,
come on, you know what I'm saying.
Maybe there were awards to give you, but we were giving them out on Thursdays.
Carter's not even laughing. Yeah.
Carter, took me too buddy. Long.
E for effort.
All right, let me summarize what we're talking about. Tim McMahon works for NBA.com. I got to check that. He might be ESPN. Can somebody check that, Tim McMahon?
He used to be in Dallas.
He's been around for a while. Yeah. He's good. He was shedding some light on the Warriors' possible trade with the Jazz. And who do the Jazz want? Pajemski? Do they want Kamenga? We're talking about for marketing. Here's what Tim McMahon said.
Educated speculation. I think Pajemski would have to be in the deal. Obviously, you're talking about a ton of picks. I don't know how much the Jazz would press on Kamenga. I do think, like, if Pajemski's not in the deal, there wouldn't be a deal.
See, that right there is what goes to Pods being more valuable
to the Jazz.
Because of the control they would have.
I don't know why. Maybe it's because Danny Ainge doesn't think Kuminga's any good. Okay. I don't know.
Wow. And I don't believe that. Like, the other caller, two calls before Austin, like, I don't think there's too many people out there saying JK has not got a bright future, you know?
Okay, so Tim McMahon says that Danny Ainge wants Pajemski. He doesn't even know if he's pressing for Kuminga.
Right.
Okay, well, that tells us a little something. And then today on the morning show, Anthony Slater is talking about Pods.
I mean, they don't want to trade him. He is, you know, beloved organizationally. They think he has, like, winning qualities. And one of, I would say, the rare aspects of Pajemski compared to their other recent draft picks is not only, obviously, does the front office love the talent and draft him and want him to play, but the head coach, as a rookie, like, couldn't keep him off the floor, right? I mean, Steve Kerr's putting him in his best lineup last year. His plus-minus is great. He's raving about him, you know, as a rookie. So there is not much of an appetite for the Warriors to trade him. Now, again, like, if it comes down to a major trade and he is the swing piece, like, you know, sometimes you do have to give stuff up. We'll see. But yeah, they're not actively looking to move him. But part of the reason why he has an appeal, not only to the Warriors, but on the market to a team like Utah, he's got 3 more years of a very cheap money. You know, he's just entering year two of a 4-year rookie deal, and he's the 19th overall pick. That's really cheap, you know, labor in a lot of ways. But that's also why the Warriors want to protect him.
And I would add, maybe an issue with Kuminga is other teams might be scared of how much they have to pay him. That's all.
And I wonder if the Warriors are one of them.
I don't know. That's a good question. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Let's go out to my favorite, second favorite, third favorite city behind Oakland and San Francisco. And San Jose.
The Yoon.
No. Let's go to Jason in Philly. What's up, Jace? How you doing, man?
What's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Doing well, man. Doing well. Thank you.
Good, good. Hey, I just wanted to touch base. I think the issue isn't whether Hodge is projected to be better than Kuminga, because I think most people see Kuminga as the talent with the most top end or the higher ceiling.
Right.
The issue is that we overvalue Jonathan Kuminga as Warrior fans. Mm. I look at him. I think he's going to be great. I think he's probably a fringe all-star in the future. But I don't see him as a superstar. I don't see him as a perennial all-star even. He has a lot of holes in his game. Number one, the jumper. His left hand isn't strong. He likes to, if he doesn't get to the rim, he spins back and goes to the fadeaway with his left. He's not good off ball, which really hurts in our system. And so when I look at him and I project about long term, even his defense is a little overrated. His rebounding is weak for his size. But I think he's going to be great. But I think that's what happens when Utah gets involved. They're looking at a guy like, are we going to pay him $38 million? A year, but his offensive game is limited. His defensive game isn't game changing. And we can find athletes like Johnny Kuminga throughout the draft. If that's what we're really going for, somebody that can slash and score in the open court.
Wow. Hear you, Jason. I hear you. You think the Warriors, what do you think about his overarching point that he thinks we as Warrior fans are overrating Kuminga a little bit?
Well, it's nobody's overrating. He has a Warrior jersey. And if you want to think about the present, the past, and the future, you got to rate him. And Jonathan Kuminga on many nights, including last year, Stani, when guys were not available, he took off. And from a physical standpoint, he's a stud. He's got it.
We know that. We know that.
Yeah, can he be polished enough when it's his name on the marquee? Right now it's Steph and Dre, and he's trying to be the third or fourth.
Yeah, let me.
But if I pay him that money, I think a lot of it is in 3 years. Can he be our guy?
Well, let me tell you something, and I know that's the question. And I know you're kind of doing it because, but you know, you actually kind of are hinting that because of Steph Curry, Kuminga's not able to blossom.
There's a degree of that. And not 100.
Well, let me tell you what scares the S out of me is Jonathan Kuminga without Steph Curry on the team.
And Carter came in here and said, could he run the floor like Barnes or Cade Cunningham? He said that he thinks that would be a nightmare. I'm paraphrasing. If Kuminga had to do those things right now, because I keep saying, put him on those teams and watch him cook. Stani, the man's gifted. He's got some talent. It's about, is he going to grow into him?
Yeah, I like Kuminga. I like him a lot.
But we'll find out. How much do you like him?
But am I ready to pay him this kind of money, upwards of 200, upwards of 200 right now?
Let's do this.
That's where I'm like, I wouldn't.
All right. I get you. I just wouldn't. Yeah. Let's say he has the same year he had last year. Would you be more convinced or would you be perplexed, Kuminga?
How'd we do as a team? I know you don't care about that.
Hey, stop. I'm the one that's had losing sleep because they didn't make the offs. Let's say you lose in the first round. You go in as a play-in.
You make the playoffs.
Yeah, you make the playoffs losing first round. But it wasn't his fault.
So he doesn't get better.
Yeah, he does. He averaged 22.
Okay.
Shoot 34% from three.
I'll make that decision next year.
All right.
Seriously.
It's coming faster than I think you believe.
What is?
That decision. I think they already may know.
They might. They probably do.
And it's on. What did Lacob talk about the coaches? I know Stotts and Stackhouse. I heard the afternoon guys, Bonte and Shasky, talking about the coaches and the impact. But, Stoney, I think a lot of it is what's around him to get Kuminga to be able to check those boxes on your to-do list. Because there was a lot of heavy stuff.
Like, the only thing that involves his teammates is can he ever make them better? He can rebound without any help from his teammates.
But he fades away a lot when he doesn't need to on his shots.
His mid-range game, that's the best part of his game. He gets into the middle and gets that little 15-footer. Yeah. Like, that's his bread and butter. He gets out on the break, he finishes. Now, he doesn't handle it great on the break, and he's got to work on his three-point shooting. But
on the break, it's over if you're not back.
Well, that means he's good at dunking without anybody there.
We got a super chat from Ion, Steven. I love JK, $5, but he's not worth it if he can't shoot 35% or better from three. Not in this system. It's interesting.
888-957-9570 is the number. If you want to jump into the conversation, Giants for Life in the YouTube chat. Go find a GM who genuinely thinks that Pods is a better player and has a better ceiling than JK. As soon as you find that GM, which you won't, try to... Listen.
Yeah, and I agree. Right.
Nobody is saying Pajemski's better than Kuminga or that Kuminga doesn't have a higher ceiling than Pajemski. But Pajemski is under contract for three more years at like $15 million. And he was a first-team all-rookie, and he's shown that he's already got some stuff that he can hang his hat on in the NBA. I don't really care if my guards rebound, but he rebounds consistently as a guard. And to me, he rebounds so consistently as a guard that, yeah, you know what? You can count on Pajemski to get 6, 7, 8 rebounds a game. That's one thing he does well. I think he's extremely tough-minded, too.
But we're going to see what the adjustment teams make now on Pods, knowing what's he going to do. He's going to put his body on the line. He's going to rebound with reckless abandon. Okay, what do I need to do to make him less impactful? Box his ass out. And I believe he caught the league by storm, and to his credit. But we're going to see the adjustment to the adjustments, Donnie, on Pods.
If Jonathan Kuminga was as gritty as Brandon Pajemski and was as, like, if Jonathan were mentally tough, like, that's the other thing. People, he's got to get mentally tougher, Jonathan Kuminga. That's another thing he's got to do. But all I'm saying is I can see why other teams wouldn't be interested in Kuminga because they don't know what he is and he's going to want a lot of money. Free the people.
Free
the people in Oakland.
Gentlemen, a pleasure to be on with you. A pleasure to be on with you guys on this lovely Wednesday. Hope you're having a great afternoon.
Thank you.
Just a couple things that I've been hearing in the conversations that you guys are having. I understand that we're not going to compare Brandon to JK because obviously it's going to be a disparity on that comparison. And I get the money. I don't think that Brandon Pajemski will ever be a $40 million player a year, even at his apex.
I think we got to think about,
are the Warriors a better team going forward with Brandon Pajemski versus JK if they were to get Lowry? Lowry is a spot-up guy, a catch-and-shoot guy, more than he is a slasher. If we get rid of JK, who's getting to the free-throw line for us next year to give us any chance to get teams in the bonus? We already suck at getting to the free-throw line. These are tangibles that I don't think people are thinking about right now. Another thing is, why do we draft a guy seventh if we're not going to have faith that he's going to pan out and be the player that we want him to be? It's obvious that the Warrior system is limited in his ability to do things, and also Kerr's insistence on playing Wiggins over him, which last year seemed like one of the dumbest decisions to make. I'm not questioning Steve Kerr. I think he's a great coach, one of the best ever. But also the choice to put Wiggins back in and then curtail Jonathan Kuminga's minutes. I know he had a little injury, slight injury last year to cause a little bit of minutes to go away, but like his production was there. Do I see him being a superstar? No, I do not. But I also know that this NBA TV money is getting ready to come into play, and these salary caps are going to have to go up. And as much as we don't value him as a $40 million player in today's cap, when that cap rises, his $40 million deal may look like a $25 million a year deal. Now, currently right now, it's not that. So I know we have to factor in what it is right now, but I know for a fact that the salary cap has to jump, because if you're going to be paying your top player $65 million, which Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum will be making, the cap got to go up. But so I say you pay J.K. I say you try and pay him now before the season starts, because if he has a breakout season, you're guaranteed to have to give him $180 to $200. If you try and give him $150 to maybe $160 right now, I think he signs that contract, because he has to know that his value is somewhere in the middle and not at the 200s. I don't think $120 to $120, I don't think that's going to get him to sign. I think he's going to be offended. I say you give him $150, $160, you get him there, you hope the cap goes up, and you play ball from there. I'm down to trade Podzimski for Lowry, because long-term, he's not going to bring as much value for what he can do just as a player. So that's my two cents, guys. I hope y'all have a great Wednesday. It's always a pleasure to call in. Thank you for taking my call. Have a good one, guys.
A lot of great points.
All of them were great points.
Yeah, and you look at Curry starting when he was 21. It took 2009. It took him to 2015 before he was Curry. You know
right.
what I mean?
And Curry had as good of a basketball foundation as anybody coming into the league at that time. He'd been playing basketball in arenas with his dad since he was 7 years old. How many years did he play at Davidson?
Yeah, no, I got you. Fundamentally sound, he came to the league with that.
You know, the other thing, and again, I actually believe that one team isn't into Kuminga, at least. And it's the Jazz. I don't think they're into Kuminga. Because, let me ask you this.
I feel like that's holding up the deal.
What is?
The Warriors not parting ways with Kuminga.
I don't think Ainge wants him. I'm Danny Ainge, okay? I got this guy, Lauri Markkanen, all right? And he's making $18 million a year, right?
Yep.
And we can extend him on August 6th. And they might be able to extend him for $30 to $35 million. Why would Danny Ainge want Jonathan Kuminga instead of Lauri Markkanen if he knows Kuminga's going to want more money than Markkanen? And right now, Markkanen's a better player.
Yeah, but there's a six-year gap in regard to age difference.
Right.
Not the amount of missed games that Markkanen has on his Carfax report. So little things like that. But I think Ainge or any other GM could look at Jonathan Kuminga, and maybe the Warriors are doing it now, we don't know, and say this could be our cornerstone.
I think I think there's a scenario which Danny Ainge looks at Jonathan Kuminga and says, no chance. It's like, I've watched Danny Ainge for 40 years. I watched him play. I watched him talk. I just don't think Kuminga's his type of player. I just don't. I could be wrong. Hell, they may acquire him today and extend him tomorrow. I don't know. But I just don't, when somebody said, when Tim McMahon says, I think Ainge wants Pods and not Kuminga, I don't think it's necessarily because he hates Kuminga, but he knows he has to pay Kuminga, and I could see Danny Ainge liking Podzimski. That's all. Mike's in Santa Clara. What's up, Mike? How you doing, man?
Good guys. Thank you for taking my call again. Look, there were so many good, points made on the previous callers and everything. I agree that, the Kuminga thing, Danny Ainge, look, first off, he's being a selfish SOB out of anything. He's wanting everything and everything. And with the Pods part of it, I feel like it is a contract control kind of factor. He doesn't want to pay Kuminga, but I would rather potentially give up Kuminga over Pods. I mean, this is just my personal opinion, guys. I actually see some Jason Kidd in Pods, in my opinion. I mean, the way he just is able to play the ball on both sides of it. My God, I see Jason Kidd in the guy, but in regards to that, I just don't know if it's even worth to even trade all that. Look, if he was able to give JK with some picks out of it, and on top of that, I also feel like Dunleavy is being played as if not being taken seriously as a GM. That's just my personal opinion. Just because he's new to it, I know he was part of the assistant part of it as it is, but I just don't feel like he's being taken seriously when it comes to the trade talks.
I don't know
if that's also because Danny Ainge is who he is. You know, I mean, I think it's just Danny Ainge being Danny Ainge.
Right.
But I just don't think I would actually do the trade. If I had the choice, I would like to sign Kuminga to, like, let's say about $130 million deal.
Sure.
And still keep Pods under control, but just not even go for Laurie at this point. I mean, I really wouldn't do it and just see what happens. Now, again, there's also the case of, like, what's going to happen with, like, you know, Steph's timeline. It's always about Steph's timeline and what happens with that. So I'll keep it to you guys at that point. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, look, thanks for the call, Stoney. You know, I love comps more than anybody, I think, in your life. But, man, Jay Kidd was a one-man fast break, one of the fastest with the ball in his hands. So I don't see that from Pods. Now, he might have been talking about, you know, other things, but I don't see Jay Kidd when I watch Pods.
There's another reason why I'd be reluctant to do something with Kuminga right now. And the reason is, if I look ahead to 25-26, that's when Kuminga's contract would kick in. Well, you know what? Right now, the Warriors only have Steph under contract, Wiggins, and Green. Those are their big money guys. And the way I would look at it is, I'll tell you what, if we could somehow not pay Kuminga this year, get him to play for $7.6 million this year, and then he's restricted, and you can somehow move Wiggins during this year, then next year you've got some action in terms of free agency. But if you sign Kuminga right now, he's going to take up $40 million of your cap in 25-26.
And I think you might be onto something.
By not signing Kuminga this year, I get it. He wants his money, and we don't know.
But he ain't going to throw a hissy fit or IU.
I don't know. I mean, I'll be fair there. I don't know. But if you don't sign Kuminga to an extension this year, you could set up potential for a lot of flexibility next offseason.
If you got off of Wiggins, too.
Yeah. For sure.
How can they not? They have to know that. Now, just hearing you say that the way you just did, I don't think, will Kuminga be pouting or throwing a hissy fit if he doesn't get extended? Like, I think they know we just did not make the playoffs. I don't want to be cruel here, but I feel like now, Steiny, how he feels about not getting extended is probably at the bottom of their list as an organization. It has to be.
Well,
when you bring up what you just did.
Or you have to be willing to live with him not being happy.
Okay. And you did that half of last year, right? And for different reasons.
I mean, I'm not sure Kuminga's been happy here, to be honest with you. I mean, he's been fine. I mean, he's not a problem at all. I mean, he's a good kid. But he's frustrated, probably, because he wants more playing time.
Beard wanted me to ask you this on the YouTube chat. Could you see Pods being a poor man's Brunson? I was like, let me throw that to Steiner.
Yeah,
he's crafty.
I don't know. I don't know what Pods is.
Wow.
But I know.
He's a baller.
But I know he's cheap right now.
But he's got heart, too, outside of that.
Yeah, but he does.
He's crafty.
Here's the other thing. As long as we're bringing up Kuminga, are we extending Moody this year? Are we extending Moses Moody? He's due for an extension. I mean, we're not talking big money
The word's coming out of my mouth.
But what do you do with Moody? He's in the same class as Kuminga.
Oh, my God.
I think his arrow's headed up, Steiny. You're right. It ain't big, big money compared to the others. But I think he's carving out a role for him on this team, for himself on this team.
Yeah, I mean,
who knows? He might be your starting team. Well,
he might be.
Pods has to be at the one and Curry at the two. Then you take those duties away from Steph, and he doesn't wear down. Who would be your backup, Melton?
For what?
Bringing your backup point.
Yeah, I don't like the idea of Pajemski starting this year, but he might. I don't know. I like the idea. See, I don't mind Curry playing one because Draymond can always bring the ball up and take that responsibility off him. Steph will play some two for sure. But I'm just wondering, what about Moody? What are we doing with Moody?
Moses.
I don't know what we're doing with Moody. It's all about Kuminga. It's all about upside. Not a scorer like Brunson, but he's gritty like him, and he'll rebound. That's from the 818 when you said, could he be a poor man's Jalen Brunson? 888-957-9570 is the number. You want to jump into the conversation? We also are going to start to go down the avenue of who in the Bay is untouchable. In all the sports. Download the Odyssey app directly from our QR code on both YouTube and Twitch. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. That segment also sponsored by Lucky California.
Around the studio naked.
Now back naked. To Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Filling in for Willard and Dibs, here's Matt Steinmetz and Daryl the Guru Johnson.
I've been going to the gym. You wouldn't know, so don't look at me with no clothes on, but I would do it. I'm feeling better about myself.
You would do what?
Run around the studio naked. I've been hitting the gym with this new jacked up week. Your boy be getting after it, hooping.
You know what's funny is...
It's not a full court, Carter. Why is he laughing like that?
Because he's 6'8", and he'd take your stuff right out.
But I would
he'd
body
say,
him.
Get that stuff out of here.
I would play good.
We got to hook up. You can't get a shot off against Carter.
I got to...
And
my 6'8"? Knee is back.
And he's all of it, too. 6'8", all of it.
But he got to keep up with me, Stoney.
Oh, please.
Have you heard of Mark Aguirre, Adrian Dantley? I have that in my toolbox.
Those were two of the most selfish players that you can name in NBA history.
But Stoddy, they can create a shot.
Oh, they can do that.
Yeah.
Hey, our boss is
pretty cool,
is on top
man.
Of it.
Yeah.
So we're talking about Pajemski and Jonathan Kuminga. And I want to play a couple pieces of sound. This is from a game in November.
November.
The Minnesota Timberwolves were in town. Draymond Green did Draymond Green things. He ended up getting thrown out of the game. That was the fight with Gobert.
Oh, wow.
And the Warriors hung in there.
Okay.
Let's just listen to some of what Steve Kerr said after that game in November.
In order to win in the NBA, obviously you have to have talent, but you have to have energy. You have to bring something to the table life-wise, like joy-wise, energy-wise, competitiveness-wise. And that's what I watched tonight, you know, from the whole group. Clearly, Brandon has that. That's pretty obvious. And our fans have watched this team win four championships, and they weren't won by, you know, a bunch of powders and wallflowers. They were won by gamers, competitors, guys who brought energy and joy and passion to everything. And that's what it takes. So that's what I'm looking for.
Wow. There was somebody
conspicuously absent there.
Wow. Man.
And I guess in that game, what, Pods had 23 and Kuminga had 5. Now, that's why we picked the game. But I'm going to play something else in a second. Let me get to this super chat by Ion. Pods is Brunson, DiVincenzo, and Josh Hart smashed into one player. He does everything the three of them do, but his defense is most similar to Brunson. Ion is a huge fan.
I'm not mad at that. He said Dante DiVincenzo.
Wow. Hey, Steve Kerr, Draymond got kicked out tonight. You guys hung in there. Your young players did a nice job. Just talk more about it.
It was just an amazing performance by our guys. To be so shorthanded and to fight and compete the way they did, was it was just beautiful to watch. I give credit to Minnesota. They've probably been the best team in the league to this point. You know, number one defense. They've beaten a lot of good teams. And, you know, they took over in the fourth. Towns made some really big shots for them. And they held us to 18 points. So they earned it. But I couldn't be more proud of our guys. They just competed like crazy. And it was really fun to watch.
All right, so there he talked about the group as a whole.
And he got him two more years.
Are you ready?
For my socks off.
Are you ready for an unbelievable stat? I couldn't believe
Carter
this.
And I and our guy, we'll tell
and
the
this
fans.
Isn't, this isn't, see, this is where.
Ken will tell.
This
Ken
is where,
tell us.
Goo, I want you to look.
Be careful.
Forget me.
Yeah.
Forget me.
It's not hard to do.
Just look at this data. It was cold.
Yeah.
Look at this data, and what does it tell you? Last year, Brandon Pajemski averaged more minutes per game than Jonathan Kuminga. Brandon Pajemski played more last year than Kuminga. It was close. But Pods played 26.6 minutes per game last year, and Kuminga played 26.3. My point is this. Doesn't that tell you a little bit about Steve Kerr and what he thinks?
No doubt. And I could, again, we're not pitting these two against each other, because if the Warriors had their brothers, they would be, both of them would be the starting five, future two components of a future starting five. But with what you're saying, I wonder if Jonathan sees that or hears that and that bothers him. Not that he's worried about what's happening with Pods, but it speaks to his IQ, Pods, and his ability to fit in and get this offense and play the game longer than Kuminga's been playing. But I do wonder. You know, let's keep it real, Stoney. Kuminga went to the press two times. You could tell he just was having a conversation. He went to the press about how he's being dealt with and his playing time. And I give him kudos. He just put the rat on the table and didn't give a damn what happened. And you know what happened? He took off. But that doesn't shock me as much as I think you thought. Pods is, he knows how to fit in.
So Pods, in year one.
And the GP2 injury, Stoney.
In year one.
You can't forget that.
Like Draymond wasn't suspended? Like Wiggins has been holding down the three at 40 minutes a game?
Yeah.
The bottom
line. That was a good one. That was a good retort.
Hey, the bottom line is Pods, in his first year, with 1 year of college experience, played more last year than Jonathan Kuminga, who's going to be entering his fourth year next year.
Huh?
All I'm saying is that might give you a little insight into the way the Warriors think. And you know what? It's not like we all haven't heard the fans. A lot of the fans say Kuminga should be playing more.
Oh, that's been around for. No, I got you.
But he's not.
But this is the year for him, Stoney, I believe.
Well, last year was supposed to be the year for him.
You're correct. Lacob said he still had a good year. There was growth.
He did have a good year. But Pods played more than him.
Yeah.
Which is unreal to me. Unbelievable. So Steve Kerr, who's played no young guys for the most part since he took over the team. Pajemski's played more than any young player that's ever come through his system. And last year, Pajemski played more than Kuminga.
No, he is the poster.
I think they like him.
Yeah, okay.
I know Steve Kerr does.
Safe to say.
Exactly.
And so, kudos to the Pods.
Exactly.
How the hell you out-rebounded Kuminga? Or guys like that? Or just around the league?
I know
He's got heart.
Thank you.
And he knows what it takes to stay on the court. That's what high school coaches preach. When I coached St. Anne's, Eddie House, I used to say the same stuff to the kids.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Carl.
I mean, that goes back to my. I think the Warriors think that Kuminga is more of a project than a lot of us do. I think they think
and they
that
can
he's
be.
Still
let me ask you this,
growth.
Donnie: Can they be happy with where Kuminga's at, predicated on the project? Do you think that
I think he's in a good. I like where Kuminga's at. I do.
See, I don't. Okay,
but
does
I don't
Curry
like
where
million.
He's at or the team to where when Draymond was gone, you didn't take over and we didn't make the playoffs.
What do you mean?
I'm not blaming Kuminga, but if he was that dynamic, when Dre was out, that's when Kuminga could have took off. But he's always got a roadblock, man. Jump that we talk about, that we could see and we get flashes, was it so great that we could lean on him when Dre was out and we could make the playoffs? They didn't make the playoffs. And I put that's on everybody. But I think about what Curry's thinking about Kuminga.
I mean, if, again, when I look at last year, the young guys were not the problem. And that includes Kuminga. I don't think he was the problem. But here's the thing. Why couldn't Kuminga essentially supplant Wiggins? Why, after Wiggins was sleepwalking through half the year, why didn't Steve Kerr just say, you know what, Kuminga's better?
You figured
that. I know.
Okay.
And I'm giving you the answer.
He's not ready.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm not saying it. Like, that's what the team is telling me. Mm. So, that's just kind of.
But if both of those guys could mesh and play together, the Warriors would have been. Oh, they would have been a problem, man.
Who?
Wiggins and Kuminga.
You think they
could
play together?
Whole thing they couldn't play
they
together.
They can.
And then Dre made
when
he came back from the suspension, and you're thinking the what ifs.
But
those are two wings, man. They can do a lot.
They can do less than most wings in the entire league. The problem with Wiggins and Kuminga is they both have the same kind of strengths and the same kind of weaknesses. Neither rebounds.
That is, wow.
Both of them are pretty good on the ball, very mediocre off-the-ball defenders.
Wow, man. And I get it. I see a on the YouTube chat. Wiggins is way too inconsistent. I said, man, hello.
Yeah. Anyway, we were just batting this around because the funny thing is we played some of that sound about Tim McMahon of ESPN and Anthony Slater, and the boss was saying, wait a minute. You're telling me that Brandon Pajemski might hold up a deal? And we were talking about the word untouchable. And how many untouchables are there in the Bay Area right now?
Damn.
Guys you would not trade. Now, when you hear untouchable, like, I'm kind of with Shasky in terms of, boy, we got to define untouchable and be precise about it. Because if we're going to go literal, well, Steph Curry's not untouchable. I mean, if Milwaukee said, we'll give you Giannis for Curry, I think the Warriors would do it. So, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, I think we can all agree, Steph Curry right now is untouchable.
Yes.
Okay.
The only one on that team, and I don't like
it. Well, in pods. That's been established.
Now, there you go. But no, that's the only one on the ledger for me.
For the Warriors.
And you know what comes with that?
What?
Well, damn. It might be a little thin around here. How'd the team do last year? Oh, the team with just Curry? The OG? Under the column of untouchable?
Okay.
How'd they do?
Okay, well.
Playoffs.
Who is
that matches. That's why I don't like. Like, give me another name on the Warriors. You, well, Carter, or anybody.
Well,
who's untouchable?
Okay, since 2022, I'll give you the last 2 years, who's been untouchable. It's been just Curry for the last 2 years, is what I'm saying. Like, this isn't.
There was a time I thought before the pre-punch that Jordan Poole was untouchable.
I mean,
when he inked that deal, I thought he was going to be part of the future.
I think Clay and Draymond obviously were untouchable, but Clay became touchable clearly, and I think Draymond Green,
Poole got touched.
I think Draymond Green could be traded for the right deal.
I'm with you, too.
So I do think it's only Curry. But 888-957-9570 is the number. We're going to go through some teams here and get some of your thoughts. But give me some players in the Bay that you absolutely wouldn't trade unless it were some kind of deal that were absolutely positively out of this world. What's going on?
Don't you feel like they've shown you already that they are not willing to part ways with Draymond? I mean, he's had gone through maybe the most tumultuous year of his career at this point. It's only up from here, for God's sake, for him. I just think
Carter,
at this point,
good fight. I don't want to cut you off, but you sound like me every day. But whatever he's done,
you got to give him magnum cum laude for making the Warriors believe in him, man.
Wouldn't they have already gotten rid of him at this point?
He would have never got that deal last summer.
No, I think when it comes to Draymond Green, yeah, the Warriors thought he was untouchable 2 years ago. Maybe, and last year, because they gave him a contract. But I think everything changes. And I think Draymond Green...
I don't have him under untouchable right now, guys.
I don't
think
the Warriors do either.
Okay. I'm not hating. I just don't feel that right now.
I think.
But you got my point of the exercise.
Yeah. Well, what
the
about
fact
this?
That Kurt, the Warriors have one guy and it's the OG is not good. Or am I missing somebody?
Well, I would just say it hasn't been that way for a couple years now on the Warriors. Shasky brought up an interesting name in the crossover. No.
Okay, that was great.
He said, and if we're gonna go down this road, let's go down this road. What about Steve Kerr? I think he's untouchable. You're not gonna fire Steve Kerr in the next 2 years.
But you and I have done radio 10-2, thinking it might be coming when he didn't have that contract at an early juncture last year. But he's only got 2 years. But again, he's a top five coach to me. So if I guess I'll call him untouchable.
Yeah, but I don't think he's going to get fired. I don't think he can do anything to get fired in the next 2 years. I mean, obviously, things change quickly in the NBA, as Steph Curry said.
In this league.
You know, yeah. I think Steve Kerr's untouchable right now. He's got two more years left in his deal. He'll finish up, I think, and they won't, and he'll be fine.
Yeah. I hate to agree with Steinmetz.
About the Giants. True.
Wow, man. I want to put Webb down there. I won't.
Okay.
And Shasky had stole my thunder in regard to the timeline, but it's not about that. It's about how you feel. And Logan Webb's a damn good pitcher, just made his All-Star game, Steiny. But when this team pops again, I just feel like they're a few years away from that happening, and they'll have a new Logan Webb. You'd be like, well, that sounds ludicrous. But my point is, if you could use him to get you a Judge or Ohtani or some guy that you thought could get to that status, like a top prospect, I would do it. Because right now, I don't know what they're about to embark on the second half. Hopefully, it's a playoff series. But if not, Steiny, I'm thinking about the next chapter of this team, and Ramos would be the only guy. Shasky threw in Bailey. I like Bailey, but he wouldn't be untouchable. Ramos is the only one. Think about that.
I'd put Webb in there. I would. And the reason I put Webb in there is because of one reason and one reason only. All we ever talk about with the Giants is, can they develop anybody? Can we get to know these
Carter
guys?
Carter said what you're about to
can
say.
Can we do this? Can we do that? Can we find a guy the fans can... I mean, Webb's been here, what, 5 years
but
now?
I love that, and I'm asking both of you, because Carter said that during the break, but... How does that help me on the field about the origin of the player?
Oh, now it doesn't matter.
No, I'm asking.
That the Giants haven't made a connection with their fans because they run players through here every 1 or 2 years. Listen, I'm not saying I wouldn't trade Logan Webb for Aaron Judge. It's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying if we're going to list the Giants' most untouchable guys, like Logan Webb to me would be number one because... He's a homegrown guy. He's like, you know what? I'm sorry. He's the only Giant that any fan really knows.
Oh.
And that's supposed to be important to this team. They need where are the Posies? Where's the Belts? Where are the Lincecums? Where are the Crawfords? Where are the...
Steiny, it sounds like you're making the same argument for trading Steph, though. You know what I mean?
Steph's untouchable. He's untouchable. There's degrees to this. But what I'm saying is... If you can get two Cy Young winners for one, for Brandon, I'm just saying, of all the Giants, Webb's the last guy I would trade because to me, he's your best pitcher by far, might be your best player, and he's got the longest tenure here to have made some kind of connection with the fans who have been clamoring to have a connection with a player or players since they won titles.
Yeah, and I guess I hope I'm not sounding like I'm down on Webb. I'm not, but Steiny, he's your best pitcher during a dark time. Can't we say it's a dark time right now? You won 107, but it's been a while, you know? And I'm not undermining. Dude was just in the All-Star game yesterday.
I feel like...
Red, but
I mean, I really feel
I hope I'm not robbing him of anything.
The word untouchable, I don't want to take it literally because Curry's touchable if you think about it. Of course he is. Somebody wants to go get Steph Curry for a 25-year-old superstar. The Warriors are going to do it. But they're not going to.
Yeah.
But right. Yeah. And what I'm saying is, of all the Giants players, okay, there's nobody untouchable. But to me, the most untouchable would be Logan Webb.
How about on the Niners? Now that's where Bosa.
I'd put McCaffrey first.
Steiny, he's older than Bosa. He's one injury away. He's a running back. He's a couple years from 30.
He's your best player.
I'm not mad at that.
I think if you take Christian McCaffrey off the Niners, they're not going to win a Super Bowl.
I don't believe that. And the reason I don't believe that, if you lose Ayuk, I really don't. But I'll change my tune. But damn it, what has Kyle got to show you? He's taken the team to a Super Bowl with Elijah Mitchell and other guys as their starting running back, Steiny.
So you don't think he's untouchable?
He would be on my list as untouchable. I was just telling you
he's my number one.
I'm giving Kyle more credit. Okay.
He's my number one guy.
I got Bosa. Forget the order. I got Bosa and McCaffrey. I got Fred Warner on that list.
Well, I got Trent Williams, too.
Trent. I don't want to throw shade at Trent.
He missed three games last year. They lost them all.
Man, that's a fact.
I got Bosa third.
All right.
McCaffrey, Williams, Bosa.
Where's Debo?
I have Purdy fourth, and then I have a tie for fifth, Debo Samuel and Fred Warner.
So no Debo or Ayuk?
No, Ayuk, no. No.
Why are you saying like you don't like him? I mean,
he's better than what?
Well, him and Debo are so different that that's what makes him unique in
that's
this
why
offense
I like
go.
Yeah, I like Debo more.
No, well, I'm just telling you, the reason I'm bringing that up, be careful what you wish for. If you think Pearsall could come in. We still don't know what's going on with him, but he can be Ayuk. More power to you, Kyle.
And be careful about thinking that Ayuk is so important the franchise can't go forward without him. Brian and Hayward. What's up, Brian? How you doing, man?
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I just want to touch on something. Speaking of untouchable,
yeah.
Goo came up with a real nice one a few minutes ago. He said, Poole got touched. He's right. He got touched.
Yeah,
he got touched. We moved him. We promised our fan base we were going to have a guy exciting enough to carry us over the next few years with Steph. And like you said, after Steph. But look what happened, guys. You know, I'm not pointing fingers. I'm trying to see, you know, how we moved on from that. We got lucky. We got unlucky with Wiseman. We got lucky with Kuminga and Pods and TJD and even Moody. So, you know, you gotta roll with what you got and be careful about who you give up. You know, I don't want to give up Pods. Look at SGA. They gave him up and look where he brought his team, you know. So I'm just saying things like that are kind of like an example for us to consider when we think about moving young players like Kuminga. Dude, I don't want to move Kuminga. I don't want to move Moody either, but realistically, if we put Wiggins and Moody and some other stuff together, we could get something back for him. And I think that's our best move right now. But, Goo, one more time, shout out, line of the day. Pooh got touched. Thanks, guys. Have a
great
day.
Glad you liked it, buddy.
I'm sorry.
He liked it.
Yeah, he did.
He looked a couple of times.
He did.
Let me give my love.
By the way, anybody saying Macklin Celebrini, you're late to the party. That was one of my originals.
Yeah.
And if you really want to get in untouchable, like Victor Wembanyama is untouchable.
No doubt.
Yeah, exactly.
But in the Bay, it's getting real.
And Jonathan
outside
Kuminga.
Of the Niners, it's real. It's getting a little sketchy. We need to add some to the list. Giants and Warriors, I'm talking to you. Now, what if you brought up Purdy? Please help me with this when you and Carter. What if the Warriors Purdy is Pods?
What if the Warriors Purdy?
They found
Pods.
A diamond that is better than a lot of people thought, and the impact he'll have on his team. Maybe he could be a starter.
That would be great.
Maybe he's an all-star. I'm just like, I'm not robbing that kid of anything, but I get the flip side where the people are pessimistic about, please, watch these people come at Pods now because he hit the scene and they didn't take him serious.
All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. And we're talking about who in the Bay Area is untouchable, or who are the more untouchable players, or the most untouchable players. I mean, we saw Joe Montana get traded, so we know that pretty much everybody is untouchable, or everybody's pretty much touchable. But we're talking about right now. I think we could all agree that right now, Curry's probably the most untouchable guy in the Bay Area. But what do you guys think at 888-957-9570? Don't forget, we're giving away an autographed Klay Thompson jersey on Friday. You listen at 8:11 with Willard and Dibs, 1:11 with Bonte and Shasky, and at 5:11 with myself and Guru for your chance to win an autographed Klay Thompson jersey. Who's untouchable in the Bay? We'll talk about it on the other side.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.